Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ontex third quarter 2018 results conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Charles Boissier, Chief Executive Officer, Jacques Burnoud, Chief Finance Officer, and Thierry Navarre, Chief Operating Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcement and presentation are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Charles Boissier, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everybody. Well, before we jump into the figures, I'd like to provide a brief overview of our progress in Q3 against the objectives we set for 2018 and share some thoughts on the current environment. Well, by following Ontex and the hygiene sector, you will know that from a historical perspective, we are operating in a very challenging environment, with some commodity indices at record high levels and Forex headwinds. We've said for some time that we expected these headwinds to prevail in the near term, and we can see that they remain intense in quarter three. So looking ahead, we remain confident in our ability to navigate these challenges with the strength we have built over the past several years, a portfolio of leading retailer brands and local brands, strong operating skills in on-sales, marketing, and innovation competencies. You see evidence of that strength reflected once again this quarter, with positive price mix in all divisions and categories, our ongoing focus on savings, as well as the ongoing turnaround in Brazil. Let's turn now to slide five, which illustrates what we have been doing. Starting with delivering sustainable improvements in our Brazil business, which remains a top priority. Well, we are pleased to see the achievement of important milestones during Q3. Sales in local currency were again higher sequentially. Since the acquisition, our plans have always been to relaunch our portfolio of local brands based on a strong cooperation between R&D and marketing, and produced on our proprietary manufacturing technology. At our half-year results, we shared with you the first examples with innovations like Moviment Adult Pants and Cremer Baby Diapers. In Q3, we relaunched Pom Pom Baby Diapers, high-performance products designed to help families even more, which is 40% thinner and gives a better fit with elastic ears. Initial consumer feedback has been positive, and we will continue commercial investments beyond our new products. Consolidation of all production onto one site fully on time following our announcement in May. This has been a major project to deliver in just 4 months, involving the moving of some existing production lines and installing new lines. And our team has done a great job to make this happen in a short period of time. As a reminder, this will yield $7 million annual EBIT savings, and we already expect this to start contributing in Q4 2018. Another milestone was the transfer of IT infrastructure and solutions to Ontex Brazil, with no business disruption, ending early our service agreement with the seller. Importantly, EBITDA returned to being positive despite intense input costs and Forex headwinds. Turning to the performance of the rest of the group, we are pleased to show a good rate of growth ahead of our underlying markets. We have said for some time that selling prices need to adjust higher in light of input cost pressures over the past 18 months. We have taken the lead in several markets, which is reflected in positive pricing. Please keep in mind these price increases only partly offset higher costs and have led to some volume decreases in the short term. Positive price mix, along with our savings and efficiency actions, contributed to a robust adjusted EBITDA margin in such challenging markets. Our third main priority we set this year was to continue investing in initiatives to support profitable growth. As can be seen on the slide, in Q3 we continued driving growth in organic cotton tampons, shipping our first full quarter of significant retailer brand baby diaper contract in the US, a large market opportunity we see for the coming years, attracting new consumers to our baby diaper subscription business in France, and adding production capacity for higher margin adult and baby pants. Looking forward, as announced in September, we are conducting a comprehensive review of the available options to accelerate the delivery of value. Our team is working with a high level of focus and urgency on this review, with the support of external advisors to assist us in a deep analysis of all opportunities to create value for consumers, customers, and our shareholders. We expect this review to be completed by the end of the year, and we'll present our review to the markets at the time of our full year results. We remain confident in the inherent strength of the business today and are positive about our future potential. Now, I will hand you over to our CFO, Jacques Purnod, who will review our financial performance for the third quarter.
Thank you, Charles. Good morning, everyone. So let's turn to slide 6 for the detailed financial highlights for the third quarter. As Charles has just mentioned, we are pleased to see further progress in Q3 among quite challenging conditions. Like-for-like revenue performance was solid. Group like-for-like sales, excluding Brazil, were up 3% year-on-year, driven by positive price mix in all divisions and categories. In Brazil, we had further sequential revenue growth, excluding FX, up 5% in Q3 versus Q2. Following more than 50% sequential growth in Q2 compared to Q1, a sign that slowly but surely our turnaround plan in Brazil is taking hold. Group like-for-like sales growth, including Brazil, were up 0.8% year-on-year in Q3, while reported sales include a negative Forex impact of more than 25 million. If you look at adjusted EBITDA, outside of Brazil, it remained robust. Our business, excluding Brazil, delivered margins of 11% in Q3, underpinned by our own actions, as we'll see in the EBITDA bridge. In Brazil, as mentioned, we return to a positive adjusted EBITDA. This represents the third consecutive sequential improvement, and we expect this to continue next quarter. Adjusted EBITDA of 58 million in Q3 2018 resulted in a margin of 10.3%, impacted by 207 basis points of higher raw material costs and FX headwinds. FX was negative 4.9 million. Talking about net debt and leverage, looking at our balance sheet, the net debt position at the end of September was 765 million, 3.3 times our last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, within our leverage range. Leverage has, of course, been impacted by temporarily higher capex to deliver a step change in Brazil's production capability, and addressing a lack of capacity we have been facing due to strong volume growth in Europe, as well as slower EBITDA over the past quarters. So now we can turn to slide 8 for a few more details on the top line. So on slide 8, we're going to talk about group revenue. As you have heard from many consumer staples companies, market conditions in Q3 continue to be quite challenging, including rising raw material costs, FX headwinds, lower growth and pricing pressure in several geographies. We are pleased to deliver another solid like-for-like revenue performance this quarter outside Brazil, with positive price mix across the board. The positive price mix, as you can see, more than offset volume loss. As previously mentioned, we fully expected that our pricing actions would have some impact on volumes, and that has been the case. We will closely monitor the evolution of our volume and value performance and adjust our actions as we see fit. We also continue to see good growth in adult incontinence and baby pens. More on the categories in a moment. Group like-for-like growth came in at 0.8%, impacted by the year-on-year decline in Brazil. But we are encouraged by the continued sequential improvement of Brazil's Q3 sales, excluding Forex, supported by innovations starting to be available to consumers. Like-for-like revenue varied by division, which you can see in the press release and in the slides that you have in the presentation. In particular, I would highlight a strong performance in MENA, up 16%, as the actions that our team have taken, including rolling out innovations, are gaining traction in markets such as Turkey, but also elsewhere in the division. Americas retail, then, outside of Brazil, also had a very good quarter, up more than 14%. Growth markets continues to deliver above market growth of nearly 9%. These encouraging figures were partly offset by lower volumes in mature market retail, linked to our decision to implement a broad price increase. Also, we had lower volume in Brazil. Both of these effects were fully expected. So now let's move on slide 9 for a review of the categories. In baby care, like-for-like revenue was 0.5 lower versus the strong comparable period last year, and was the best quarter of like-for-like performance in this category in 2018. We delivered strong double-digit growth in baby pens, and the new capacity that is coming online should help us continue meeting growing consumer demand. We also had competitive growth in several markets outside Brazil, and our innovative channel core diaper was further rolled out. On adult incontinence, we had another solid quarter. Adult pens and light incontinence products continue to drive our revenue growth in this category. Like-for-like revenue rose 3.3% in Q3, with retail channels continuing to grow up 8%. And we had stable like-for-like in institutional channels supported by self-pay business. And then on FemCare, Q3 like-for-like revenue was down 0.8%, cycling a high comparable period last year. However, growth in organic cotton tampon sales continued to be significant. Now, let's move immediately to slide 15, so we make sure we have enough time for questions. Talking about the adjusted EBITDA margin. we can see the impact of many actions taken over the course of 2018, as well as external factors the industry is facing. I would highlight that price mix more than offset volume losses, and savings and efficiencies again contributed significantly. However, the combined impact of higher raw material costs and Forex largely offset our actions. At the same time, we continue, as you can see in others, to invest to support the top line, like in sales, marketing, and research and development. While still dilutive, the negative impact from Brazil decreased compared to H1, again a sign that our turnaround plan is gradually taking effect. With that, I will now hand the call back to Charles. Charles?
Well, thank you, Jacques. And now let's go to slide 17 for outlook, and then we'll move to questions. We remain on track for low single-digit like-for-like growth for 2018 in broadly flat hygiene markets. Price mix actions and cost-saving initiatives will continue, and further value-creating actions will be considered as required in light of sustained input cost pressures and Forex volatility, which are unfortunately expected to continue. We expect quarter four 2018 margin to be broadly similar to those in the first 9 months of 2018. Well, with that, I would now like to hand the call back to the operator, and we will take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And if you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment. Okay, we will now take our next question from Faham Bai from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Couple of questions from me, please. You've given your margin outlook for Q4, which seems to be on the more conservative side. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but just given the developments you suggested in your opening remarks with regards to the consolidation of the production sites in Brazil, the improving momentum in Brazil, FX, I think, is going to be less of a headwind in Q4. Pricing should be beneficial. Raw mats are stabilizing, and the other efficiency benefits. I just would have thought your margin sequentially in Q4 should be up more than 10 basis points. Could you give your views on that? And secondly, talking about Brazil, it sounds like you're more positive on the market than you have been over the last 15 months, I would say. Could you talk about your sell-out and sell-in differences? Could you talk about market share movements? You mentioned volumes are still negative, but are we seeing pricing in the market? And the moving parts there would be very helpful, as you expect sequential improvements in that business.
Okay, so I will let Jacques answer your first question, and Thierry, who is on the call, will take the second part on Brazil. So the first one being on the Q4 outlook.
Yeah. So on the Q4 margin, I mean, first, you're right, we have actions which are really delivering, and we're very pleased with that, and we see that continuing. On the other hand, as we said, as also as competitors, peers said, We expect the raw material pressure and headwinds to at least stay at the same level as what they have been, and potentially, when we look at our latest outlook, we even see it getting worse in Q4 versus the rest of the year. I would add also, and it's a caveat I also gave mid-year, H1, is that Forex remains extremely volatile, be it in Brazil, be it in Mexico, be it in Turkey, plus all over the place. I would say the dollar also is moving a little bit. All of this make us think that our outlook stating the margin should stay comparable to the rest, broadly comparable to the rest of the year, is the right view.
Okay. Moving to Brazil.
Good morning, everyone. So on Brazil, it's clear that as Charles was mentioning, we see some improvements or the impact of our actions over there. And there is, the turnaround is starting to get traction. But looking at the market environment there is no, big signs of total recovery there. The market is still very challenging. Actually, when you look on the pricing side, whereas in some areas of the world you see the players taking pricing, Brazil is the countries where, apart from OPEX, we don't see a lot of people taking pricing there. So it is very challenging, and the environment or the context of the rise of input costs is impacting Brazil the same as the others. So the market environment is still very, very challenging. What we see is that the actions that we're taking are starting to give some benefits and some positive results. We've seen, as Jacques was mentioning, quarter after quarter, an improvement of our EBITDA margins. And on the commercial side, we have relaunched our brands, Pom Pom and Kremer. And when you look at the market share development in the last 5 months, there is an incremental increase of share month after month for our brand, which shows that the actions that are being implemented are showing results on top of what we have been taken into the operational side. You remember that we've taken the decisions to consolidate the operations on the manufacturing side. This is now completed since the end of September. And the production has been transferred in one plant in Canedo, Sanedo, and the people also that needed to be transferred have been transferred there. And I'm very happy to see that this has been done in a very smooth way, with no social unrest and no supply issues. And this is now going to start contributing as from Q4 onwards into our results as well. So in brief, despite the very challenging environment, we've got sequential increase of our results over there. Still very low compared to our expectations, but going into the right direction.
So just to complete the picture, the launch of Pom Pom, as I said, initially has just started. So we will get probably share data in the coming months, but it's too early to call, even though we remain positive. That's one very element, a very important one. And the second is the deflationary environment, where we don't see any price improvement, and the Forex and headwinds are very negative. So that's why we still remain very cautious about Brazil, even we have some positive signs of recovery.
Just a quick follow-up on Brazil. I think the inventory levels were still high at the half-year period, which you expected to reduce. Are you now happy with the inventory levels in trade, or are you still looking to reduce that?
So the inventory has been reduced significantly, but not yet reached the level we want. So we are still continuing to work on that front, but clearly there has been a very good improvement there.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Eric Wilmer from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Could you perhaps give a little bit more color on the margin development in Brazil, as they seem to have helped overall group margins from not dropping much below the second quarter? And secondly, it seems that mature market retail sales came in quite a bit lower than consensus was expecting, driven by lower volumes. I was wondering how long you expect this trend to continue. Thanks.
Well, let Jacques answer on the first part, on the margin, and on the MM, on the mature retail market itself, we told you that given the pricing activity, this would translate into a decrease in the course of the quarters arriving, and this is exactly what we experienced. If I remember correctly, in 2016, we had the same story, and we said that we would recover after 12 to 18 months. At that stage, we are really in the same type of positioning, where we prefer sometimes to lose businesses to avoid destroying margins. So that's mainly the point on MMR. So there's not a surprise. This is anticipated, and this is what we were expecting. Now, regarding your first part of the question, that was give some colors on the margin development in Brazil.
Yeah. So in Brazil, what we see, and it's just also we Thierry has mentioned, we see a real improvement because our the various actions, be it on efficiencies, be it on innovation relaunch, are really taking effect. And so we have seen a sequential improvement. We're now turning in positive areas, and we expect this to continue, and we expect a sequential improvement to also continue in Q4. So obviously it's still dilutive, but we are very pleased with the evolution we see. And they are, despite also very strong headwinds in raw materials, which, you know, Brazil being a country with very high import duties, there's a kind of protection for suppliers there, which allowed them to charge even higher increase, cost increase than in other parts of the world. So despite that, we see this very positive evolution.
And as stated by Thierry previously, well, on the Brazilian business, we have covered all the elements of the middle of the P&L. What I did with the efficiency, the manufacturing part, the closure of the plants, the fact that we have our new lines hitting the ground in Brazil and getting new technologies, all of these boxes are ticked. The biggest and the most important part remaining to be achieved, and this is where we are working right now with the team, is on the top line, on the sales. So make sure that we recover step by step. So someone asked a question about the market share, and yes, the share is steadily and progressively but slightly moving back up, but it takes time, so we don't want to be neither pessimistic or optimistic, but factually, yes, it's growing, but it's still below the level of 2 years ago. So that's a simple answer.
All right. Clear. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Fernand de Boer from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer from Degroof Petercam. Two questions from my side. One has already been answered. Regarding the net debt actually being higher than at the end of the second quarter, if you take into account the EBITDA, etc., you said, okay, we had higher capex. But what about the other elements? Because I'm actually quite surprised that the net debt moved up compared to the half-year end. That's the first question. And then the second, coming back on Brazil, you only had 5% sequential growth compared to 50% sequential growth in the previous quarter. I can understand the higher base, but were there other elements which explains this slowdown in sequential growth in Brazil?
So, thanks. I will let Jacques answer the first question.
I must say I don't really follow fully your statement that the net debt is increasing, because in H1 it was 778 and now it's 765, so it has slightly decreased. Obviously for the leverage, where we are penalized in our leverage, is because the last 12 months EBITDA is lower than it was at H1, because we're moving into tougher territory. So it's just this which makes our leverage look worse. But the net debt in itself is has been decreased. So I think that's a short and factual answer. So I would probably... By the way, also, on working capital and so on, we have not made a lot of decisions, but we are below our, let's say, classic guidance of 12% of the net sales. You know, that's something which hasn't changed since almost the IPO. And we are lower, so we're managing well our working capital. And that despite the addition of some territories which need more working capital, which shows that on other, geographies, we're really making progress.
So regarding Brazil, I will let Thierry answer.
Yeah, on that one, it's difficult to make conclusions from one quarter to another in terms of the magnitude of the growth, but traditionally, when you look at the Q1 in Brazil, it's the lowest quarter, and it's quite seasonal. You'll see that trend every year. So, which makes the sequential growth in Q1 and Q2 a bit artificial. And on the other side, we are also making some cleaning of the businesses in the meantime. So we continue to reset the commercial base. And quite a lot has been also recorded into the Q2. So for us, we are pretty pleased about the trend, and our focus is making sure that momentum is continuing going forward, and we don't see any negative signs when we are looking forward about that development for Brazil.
Okay, may I come back on the your remark on mature market retail volume growth? Do you see that stabilizing in 12 to 16 months or growing within 12 to 16 months, like in the previous cycle, 2016?
Just before, I told that in our view, we reproduce a little bit of what happened 2 years ago. We make a trade-off and a decision in front of the headwinds and the raw material that is a record high level. We decided to go for pricing and prefer to go for profit versus top line. So the consequence is pretty straightforward. By definition, when you go that direction, the actions trigger the consequences. So we don't see in the short term an evolution of the trend, but it's a conscious decision, and it's a decision. So that will remain as it is. To counterbalance this, we play on the portfolio of regions. I know you, a lot of people work and ask lots of questions on MMR, but the reality is on growth markets in MENA and healthcare stabilized, and Americas excluding Brazil is up. So the reality is we play on the portfolio of countries, both on the top line and on the profitability. That's part of the game.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Sanat Sudarsan from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, all. A few questions from me, actually. Just continuing on the MMR volumes, actually. Could you just share with us how much possibly is the volume drop a function of you trying to supply to other markets, whether it's capacity constraint for growth, and how much might be a reflection of lower market share or, you know, lower demand generally? And secondly, on Brazil, you know, when you acquired this business, this used to be a much more profitable business, including the impact of the rebates which you had, and you had expectations of recovering your cost of capital very quickly. Could you just give us an update on where you stand now on your returns versus cost of capital and your margin trajectory overall for this business? Thank you.
I will let Jacques on the second question. On the first one, in all fairness, I'm not sure I got it in total. What I can tell you is, and I think it's an important point, is overall the markets in Europe are decreasing, slightly decreasing in volume, and it's mainly driven by baby category and fem care, whereas incontinence still grows. Huh? So that's the first element. Within, by the way, the baby category, you have a change in the mix where pants are growing and diapers, baby diapers, continue to decrease. So it's not the first quarter, but it's continuing. Now, the second element is the share of retail brands is still growing. So that compensates and that plays for a compensation in terms of absolute volume in the total, because as they grow share, retail brands, by definition, it offsets part of the overall category decrease, mainly on baby diapers. So what happened is in the retail brand environment, our share, which grew in the past quarters, now stabilizes and will decrease because some of the contracts are lost. But again, that's part of what I explained just before. So that's not a lower demand. It's just like a mechanical effect of losing some contract despite the fact that the market is, the category retail brand is growing. So I'm not sure I answered your question on that one, but that's more or less the perspective on the MMR category.
Thanks. And on Brazil?
Yeah. So on Brazil, I will talk to Jacques.
If on Brazil, as we explained, we see our margin improving sequentially, and we're pleased with that. Obviously, this margin is still much below the level we were expecting. As we have explained in previous quarters, it seems that the business we bought is, in fact, doesn't deliver the margin which were shown during the due diligence. And we already said that we reserve the right of all actions regarding this gap, let's put it that way. Nevertheless, looking not at the past, but more at the future, we are turning around this business. We see the margin evolving step by step towards a high single digit, and at midterm in the mid double digit. So this is something which is evolving. It's going to take, I would say, probably several years to get to these levels. But already we expect moving, probably in a midterm to this high single digit.
And if I can just squeeze in one more, can you just perhaps give us some color on your free cash flow levels currently over the last 9 months?
I mean, allow us to tackle that when we do our full year.
Sure, no worries. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from John Ennis from Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. I've just got a couple of confirmation ones, please. The first is on Brazil again. I just wondered if you could give us the like-for-like percentage in 3Q and how that compares to the first half. And then the second is on the mature markets. Could you break out the like-for-like between price, mix, and volume? And then to follow up on your comments regarding volume losses persisting for 12 to 18 months, is it should we just be assuming a similar volume loss to the one you've reported in 3Q over the next 12 months, or could it deteriorate, or could it even improve? Because in 3Q, in 2016, when this last happened, it was relatively lumpy by quarter. Thanks.
So Brazil, you were asking like-for-like percentage in Q3 and compared to H1. Hmm?
John, it's Philip Ludwig here. We were a little bit more than 20% down at the half year in Brazil. Well, half year. Let's bear in mind that's 4 months, right? It's March until June, which is the 4 months we had ownership. In Q3, it was more around mid-teen. But again, I would.
Okay, that's helpful.
This is why we're using the sequential argument. I would urge you to recall that the discounts that we took the charge for at the end of January applied to some of those quarters, but were not reported at the time. So it makes the like for like a little bit trickier. It's down in any case, but that's to help you.
There, that's helpful. Thanks.
So the second question was on the price mix, no, or in MMR.
So there in the MMR, if you you know, we also very often very careful with information by division, but you can say that the decline comes from volume and an upside from price mix, and you can say that the volume decrease impact was three times as big as the price increase.
Okay, that's helpful. And then volumes persisting at around this level, is that a fair assumption, or is there any sort of movement we should be aware of?
I on this one, in all fairness, I would be very cautious because we are discussing a lot with our retail partners. There's still significant headwinds ahead of us, which will translate into probably further price increases. So the reactions are very hard to predict. And it's also driven by reactions from competitors. So I would say, my personal view, it will not definitively improve. I would be very cautious on that one, just because we will be tightening this, and that's the only way out to get out of the current situation, which is this challenging environment.
Okay, thank you all. That was all very helpful.
Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Richard Whittigan from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I've got three questions, please. First of all, again on Brazil. Can you talk a bit about how your distribution has developed in Brazil in 2018? Are you present in all the major retailers? And how has your shelf space developed in the course of 2018? And then the two other questions are on MMR. First of all, could you talk a little bit about the profitability in MMR? I mean, on the one hand, you obviously have the lower volumes and the input cost pressure. But on the other hand, obviously, I think there are some changes in the contract mix, in the portfolio of contracts, and also changes in the product mix, which should have a positive effect. And then the second question on MMR is... can you talk about the competitive environment, especially among the private label producers in the region?
Okay. So on the first question regarding Brazil, I would say we had a deep and we start rebuilding some. First of all, it's a continent, Brazil itself. So the reality is there's always distribution opportunities. And you could, it's unbelievable, but we are not, the brands are, our brands are strong in some regions and weaker in others. So the quick answer would be, by definition, as they are weaker in some regions, there's opportunity to develop and to grow by expanding the distribution in those areas. And again, Brazil is a combination of wealthy geographies and poor geographies. So to remind you, we have three brands, so we play on price positioning with the three brands. We have a low tier, medium tier, and premium tier, more or less, in our case. So we try to play on those three brands, depending on the regions. But there are still a lot of opportunities in terms of distribution gains. And on the main chains, so the large accounts, let's call it the large key accounts, we decided to get out of some accounts, and recently we are coming back with those accounts, and I don't name the accounts, but it's large accounts, because we were not making money initially, so it was not sustainable, and we find a new agreement. But the net answer would be, if your question is there an opportunity to be optimistic in a way, and I would be very cautious on optimism, but yes, by definition, we are far from being at full distribution in Brazil. That's clear. Now, in terms of shelf space, in all fairness, I don't have the detail at that level because, first of all, it varies by category, by brand, and by region. What I would say is most of the answers of this morning call are mainly talking about baby diaper. Just probably need to remind everybody that we are a leader on incontinence. And after a short decrease driven by a lot of pricing activities and behind also the fact that we were innovating with some products, we are getting back up as well in terms of market share in the recent latest panel data. And again, so there's still a lot of opportunities on this category as well in Brazil. Now, the second question, which deals with profitability by division, we never answer those questions, so I don't think we'll start today. It's very unfortunate, but we don't look at this that way because some of the customers, by the way, are across different divisions. What is clear is, by definition, which the price increase that we will take will never offset the cost of the raw material. There is a differential between the two. So we take price increase, but it's clear that the raw material input costs are significant. I don't know if it's the question behind was that one, but we continue to take pricing where we can by definition. The competitive landscape, which I think is referring again to NMR, I would say we have different types of competitors. I would say competitors that are more or less the same type of category as we are, but are very large and international. And those one, we see some stability in the customer relationship or in the where they play, and they are very selective. And there's a lot of smaller players that are still very aggressive on pricing. Now, in all fairness, I don't know how far it will last. As an example, in another region, that is in MENA, in Turkey, for instance, where you probably saw that there was a collapse of the currency. We had small local players that were very aggressive and did not reflect the commodity price increase into their consumer price increase. And very recently, we realized that those family businesses that are smaller start suffering a lot, and they are taking a significant price increase because it's not sustainable. It's very hard for us to comment, but I would say the competitive landscape is still holding and aggressive, but we don't know for how long. And by the way, in 2011, that was almost the case in 2011 and 2012, where some players were very aggressive and were, even in an inflationary environment, were not taking price, up to a point where they decided to withdraw from Europe, or to some of them were retrenching after several quarters. But the big question mark we don't have is how long it takes. And this one I wish I would have an answer, but I don't have it.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Guillaume Lemar from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Couple of questions for me. First, on the U.S., so there's an encouraging start there with your new contract starting to contribute very nicely to your Q3 organic sales growth. Now, given that you have no production facility on the ground in the U.S., my question is, how quickly could you reach a bottleneck situation whereby you'll be constrained from a supply chain standpoint? And then when would you start, therefore, considering having your own local manufacturing facility in that country? And second question, and I'm afraid I'm going back to the MMR division. Maybe a way to ask the question differently around the pricing issue would be, do you anticipate a need for a second round of pricing actions early next year, given what's happening on the raw material front? And when you think about your 2019 budget, do you assume competition will follow you and increase prices, or do you kind of bake in a scenario whereby competition will be on a standstill from a pricing standpoint? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So first, thanks for the nice comment. Indeed, it's encouraging in the U.S. We don't have your right production facility at the time we speak, but we don't necessarily foresee in the short term bottleneck. We have alternative sourcing on the baby diaper, either from neighboring countries, and you know we have two facilities in Mexico, one in the north and one is in Puebla, so in the center, let's call it like this. And we can source also from Europe some good products. So we should not get into a situation in the short term where we would be blocked for that reason. Now, more broadly and more strategically, it's clear that over time we need to be present in the U.S. Because the request from our customer base, and that's pretty logic, to source product locally, even from an environment standpoint, transporting diapers is not the best use of the crude oil on the planet. So there's lots of good reasons over the midterm to get our feet on the ground in the U.S. So I would say it's more to come, and we are looking at different options at that level, but no risk of bottleneck on diapers, baby diapers. We have some capacity constraint on other categories, by the way, in the U.S. It is more on the tampon and organic products, where it's flying and going very, very fast, and where it's putting a lot of pressure in terms of supply chain for us. Now, don't be sorry to get back to MMR. I think it's not a surprise. We're used to it. The short answer is yes. Given the level of degradation of the commodity, the inflation of the raw material, it's clear that it's not sustainable. So it's clear it's not sustainable. And we learn from the past there is a big time lag between the decision of implementing a price increase and the implementation. So it's something that needs to be selective, specific, depending on categories, products, components of the product. Some products have more fluff than others. So there's lots of parameters that play into it. So I will not comment because I don't want to disclose anything about pricing going forward, because we don't want to give information either to the competitive market. So that's very important. But that's directionally, you're right, given the input cost, that's a logic assumption. The last question that is 2019, how competition will react. Well, if you can give me the answer, I would very be pleased, as you can imagine. I don't know. And frankly, we are not building our strategy based on competitors. We are building our strategy based on the way we operate, the way we can absorb some of the costs, the way we can overturn some of the costs. So, We do our own strategy based on our strengths and our areas for improvement, based on our mix, geographic mix, and other things. So I would say I would leave the competitors to answer the question directly to you if you ask them the question. But I would say mathematically or financially, over time, it's not sustainable. That's it. After, it's a question of capital structure of competitors, who they are, how they want to invest, are they ready to lose money, for how long, it depends. It's very hard to answer this question, I'm really sorry, but to my best knowledge, I would expect that at least some of them will follow. We've seen that P&G and Kimberly-Clark, I think, announced price increase in the U.S., which is their largest market for the profit pool. That's all we have. So I can just play back what I heard externally.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Rosie Edwards from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, just one question for me. Could you try and give us some idea of the pricing levels in MENA?
sorry, Rosie, just did you say pricing levels or change of pricing?
Well, like the pricing growth, the level of pricing growth in the MENA region.
Okay, how much we, the level of price we take in MENA, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
as you know, MENA has been one of those regions which has been very, very volatile throughout the year. And we have actually priced on several waves during the year. And those have been very, very necessary. Charles mentioned it a bit before. Initially, the competition and especially small players locally did not follow at all, and this is why you've seen also some like-for-like growth in Q1 and Q2, which has been quite hampered. On the other side, what we see now is that those guys are at the end of what they could support, and now they are also moving on pricing. And overall, when you look at all the markets where we are present, this is into the MENA, specifically into the Turkey area, where we see the some recent move of the market in terms of pricing, contrary to what we can see in Western Europe so far. So North America, the U.S. specifically, like Charles mentioned, and Turkey are the two regions which are ahead in all the markets where we are operating, where pricing are moving into the right direction. And we have been leading, actually, this movement, and the rest is following. Remember that Turkey, into the overall portfolio, is a small contributor in our sales, and where we are suffering, and the market is suffering, especially into the baby diaper in Turkey, whereas the other categories are growing, and we are pretty successful, and they are growing in an accretive way.
But, Rosie, I take the opportunity of your question to say that you rightly pointed out on Turkey, and it's Turkey baby, but it's also incontinence. But we have taken, across the last three quarters, a lot of pricing in terms of other geographies where we have our branded business. So whether it's in Mexico, whether it's in Brazil, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in Turkey, in Algeria, in Pakistan. So that's part of the game. We have taken pricing as well in MMR. That was the first time since 4 years, since 4 or 5 years. So I think it's a kind of a discipline that we'll have to install and to reproduce, especially in a very high inflationary environment.
Okay, so just to confirm, you're saying in Turkey, the pricing growth you saw in Q3 was similar to Q1 and Q2, as in you've been taking it for more than one quarter, basically.
Well, the pricing has been higher in Q3. The simple answer is, and actually the impact will roll over into the Q4.
And Q3, you remember, was a very big loss of the Turkish lira. That was also what triggered the Q3 pricing activity as well. Remember, in summer, there was it went up to 7 Turkish lira plus to a euro.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have available for questions. I would now like to hand the call back over to Mr. Boisise for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So to sum up, Q3 showed that we are taking the actions we set out from the start of 2018, but that they have been masked in a competitive, inflationary cost environment. We remain focused on taking the right steps to strengthen our company and to improve our performance. Well, I'd like to thank you all for joining today's call. We will next update you on March 8, 2019, with our full year 2018 results, when we will also provide you with the details related to the review. Have a great day. Thanks a lot. Bye.
This concludes Ontex third quarter 2018 results conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.